And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. Tonight, we come to you from the island of Ireland. We're going to start with some Northern Irish radio. And the first selection is from a radio station broadcasting in the Gaelic dialect known as Ulster Irish. We'll then hear a bit of BBC Radio Ulster in English. And we then move to the Republic of Ireland, where we'll be hanging out on the West Coast with WUSB's own Marianne Devine. It's an hour of Irish fun on this week's Off the Wall.
Isn't it true what a wife can do with the needle thread and a stitch or two? He has wiped his slate and his bows and through. She don't live anymore with a drunken husband.
Radio Fáilte, Ishigri, La Radio Fáilte, Cira sa Seach, Punta Hain FM, on Stáisiún Is Fearr Ar Domhan, Radio Fáilte.
And now when the balloon began to cry, such a lovely cough did you ever see? How much a time of on and hoy did you try? Well, you hold your cups, is Molly McGee. Quack, pull it down, and that's your part of the round of blow, just from the sky.
Tell the fact of Radio Fighter here at the shop on Chahine FM.
Elish Tashia Dorjega Clog, a Radio Fighter.
Ni Run Amy Smo, the secret is out. Ta Club Lower Koshkin Firsta, Iker Falcha Revoil Nua. Club Lower Koshkin Firsta welcomes new members. Costas Dahid Ponsavlin, Bontashti, Curry Higna Shalti Lower Galer, Augusir Lied Shea Lower Nua Alshiha Brunta Ert, Markidden Kostish.
When I'm salt, Tarava, agus luach arigid intach is balriacht club your hushkin farstje. Malame the gach enye, elein your velge, the viclein, the chantry leafa, agus dole mari marain. Na kaligin jesh.
Gach ola so fajagin sakari poly, neonaid, tria dodo, a hoctahin a hin. No olis egg and kahri poly punk com. Shin olis egg an and iver kahri poly punk com. Club lower hushkin farstje. Tort Ardam, the Litriot, and the Gilga.
Kid is a shock punk in FM, Radio Falcha. Kid is a shock punk in FM, Radio Falcha.
Radio Fáilte, Díne Náidu Seach, Pointe Hín, FM. Tátu Géistach, Le Radio Fáilte, Díne Náidu Seach, Pointe Hín, FM.
radio, radio falsha. Radio, radio, radio falsha.
Tasha Jaya Clug, a radio falsha.
Aki la taka, taka. Taka la gilskona umijet noha hien.
Lying
and
by me more, lying
and
by me more.
Could you listen to Scone the Gaelica? Jiltery scream hearty of a shintus to ye.
Lying and by me more, lying and by me more.
For Takiok the Taka, Jan Tagwa Lim, a me and I, a 3.3.3 shock, no olus ak taka punk IE. Aki la taka.
Chol, Ganan, Chechnolia, Jaru, Yours, ak Kursi Raha.
Eishin ar fad agus níos mó le fáil ar nós. Irish Coulter agus Stíl Vaha don Saol Coamsethe.
Bíon nós a gló gach mí fáil síntas anis ag notemag.com agus Lanwage ar Facebook agus Twitter.
Jan nós, Brish nós, Lé nós.
Cruhí nós i de hiel, notemag.com.
That's Redbone and the Witch Queen of New Orleans starting our program off this morning. I wasn't listening to that song, Janet. I was away in another little world there, all on my own there. And then with the band sort of stopped singing. Good morning and welcome to the program. You see, you know what's wrong with me this morning? I woke up this morning thinking today was Friday. I know it's hateful. It is hateful. All right. But anyway, let's get back. Let's get on track. Telephone number 0845955678 for any requests or dedications. If we can help you out, we'll gladly do it this morning on the program. Give Janet a call. She's in charge of her old jukebox, so give her a shout. 0845955678. I've got some news for you, Janet, later on. You and everyone else, by the way. You know, I'll talk about it in a moment or two. But first, we'll listen to Wilson Pickett. This brings me back to my desert boot days and my hipster trousers. Hi, Sean, I asked that Jerry man. I think that's Jerry Kelly you refer to. I asked that Jerry man on three different days last week. Yes, so it was Jerry Kelly. If he would play Bruce Springsteen, Tougher Than the Rest, could you give it a spin today? Please ask Kevin. Kevin, I've already played Bruce Springsteen. But I tell you what, if you remind me tomorrow morning, I'll play it tomorrow morning. Would you phone Janet tomorrow morning and remember? Or even text me tomorrow morning and I'll play Bruce Springsteen singing that for you. No problem. It's a good song. And would you please congratulate the pupils of St. Columbus College in Port Ferry for their great results, high standards yet again. Good luck to all for the future. And would you please say well done to Amy and Peter Doran in Bangor who passed with excellent results in their GCSEs. This is from a very proud Granny Eve and Granda Des. Thank you very much. Well, I hope you like this little song from Don Farden.
Nation. reservation. Took away our way of life. Tommy Hawk and the Bowie knife.
That brings the time now to 11 o'clock. It's time for the latest news.
On 92 to 95 FM and 1341 medium wave, this is BBC Radio Ulster.
And at the BBC News Desk, this is Keith Burnside. Police are investigating the sudden death of a 19-year-old woman in Belfast. She was taken to hospital from a house in Ravenhill Avenue by paramedics yesterday afternoon, but died last night. A 23-year-old man has been arrested on suspicion of drugs offences. GCSE results have been released this morning, and the biggest change is an almost 1% improvement in the number of A-star to C grades. By comparison, the results across the UK show a fall in the grades. Here's our education correspondent, Maggie Taggart.
Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK have suffered a small drop in the number of exams scoring the top A star grade. But in Northern Ireland, almost 9% got that result, compared to just under 7% across the regions. Here, the biggest improvement is in the A star to C grades gained in 76.5% of exams. That's significantly better than the overall UK picture of 68%. Girls are again outperforming boys in GCSE, and the gap is widening. On the choice of subjects, Northern Ireland pupils are becoming less keen on French and German, but Spanish and Irish are on the way up. The STEM subjects in maths and science are showing more entries, probably thanks to a government push to help the economy.
A 54-year-old man has been arrested in connection with the murder of two soldiers in Belfast in 1977. 19-year-old Private Michael Harrison and Private Richard Turnbull, who was 18, died in an IRA gun attack on army vehicles in North Hard Street. Robert Mugabe has been sworn in as President of Zimbabwe for the seventh time. Britain has called for an independent investigation into allegations of vote rigging in last month's presidential election. The actress Michelle Collins is leaving Coronation Street next year. She's played the landlady of The Rover's Return for 2.5 years. Now here's Nicky Gregg with the sport.
And we start with golf. Michael Hoey has made an impressive start to the opening round of the Johnny Walker Championship at Gleneagles. He's 4 under par through 11 holes, one shot behind the leader, Richard Green of Australia. Gareth Shaw bogeyed the 6th to lie 1 over par through 7. The Chelsea boss Jose Mourinho says his club is likely to make a third bid for Wayne Rooney, but not until after Monday's clash with Manchester United. In cricket, 23-year-old Eddie Richardson has been named in the Ireland squad for next month's one-day international against England at Malahide. It's a first senior call-up for the all-rounder. And finally, Australia will resume on 307 for 4 on day 2 of the final Ashes test against England, which is getting underway now at the Oval.
On to the weather. It's a changing picture, of course, our Quaywar.
Hello. Well, after a cloudy start, it's becoming brighter today, fine and dry with some warm, sunny spells this afternoon, though we could still see some misty conditions by the coasts. Temperatures reaching 22 Celsius at best, 72 in Fahrenheit. Some late evening sunshine, but then thicker cloud overnight, bringing outbreaks of mainly light rain moving eastwards over the course of the night. Temperatures dipping down to 14 Celsius, 57 in Fahrenheit.
BBC News.
BBC Radio Ulster. Travel news.
The fog on the M2 at Sandy Knowes has cleared and traffic is moving well. Looking ahead to later, and delays are expected in Belfast City Centre and around Oxford Street. That's why Belsonic takes place at Custom House Square. And if you're booked on a Rathlin Express sailing, they have all been cancelled for the rest of today because of mechanical problems. Passengers will be transferred to the next available conventional ferry. Ian Sutherland reporting.
Travel news on BBC Radio Ulster.
On Talkback with Wendy Austin today, is it a case of heaven help the elderly? If 50% of care homes are closing, what's going to be put in their place? Will care at home work? Staff on minimum wage? No petrol money? We'll look at that today. And balaclavas sent to journalists to publicise a film. Is it crass insensitivity or a good ploy to grab the headlines? We're all talking about it after all. Also, it's GCSE results today. We have a careers advisor on hand to answer any questions. Being married's good for you. Call or tweet if that's the case with you too. And we're using far fewer plastic bags for our shopping. So, is the tax working? All that. Talk back at 12.
Well, I'm going to say this to you, Wendy. The first time ever in my life, I went to the shops. My wife says, go up and get a pint of milk and a loaf or whatever I was sent for. And I said, have we a plastic bag? And I wanted a plastic bag to put in my pocket. That's true. I searched the house for a plastic bag and guess what? We didn't have one.
BBC Radio Ulster.
With Sean Coyle.
Hi, Marianne. We're on the radio.
Hi, Eric.
So, well, this you can say that. No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Hello, Eric.
It's been 4 years since I was here last. But where are we now?
We're at Fionnuala Beach on the west coast of Ireland, which is kind of north of Lahinch and south of Ballyvaughan in County Clare, so in north. Clare, County Clare, Ireland.
And we're approaching a beach with all kinds of surf going on. People surfing, in fact.
Yep. I would say it's not high tide because the water would be pretty close in. I don't think it's low tide to be, so it's kind of in the middle. And, yeah, this is a fairly well-known...
Oh, careful. It's a hang glider right above your head.
Uh-oh, it's going to hit us. There's surfing here, and they have a surf school for the kids, so they take lessons. Sometimes you might see 50 kids out in the water with their surfboards and, you know, all learning. And Lahinch has it even more extensively because it's a surfing town. But, you know, Fionnuala is where you come to practice maybe if you're not skilled up to Lahinch speed yet.
People might not know that there are surfing towns on the west coast of Ireland.
No, and in fact, Clare has some of it, but then if you go further north into Sligo and Donegal, then there's actually, you know, on YouTube and even and such, there's big... well-known spots where there's big waves that people wait for and they go surfing there. Yep. So no, people don't usually think of Ireland as a surfing culture, but there is. I think since about the 70s, early to mid-70s, there's been a surfing culture here.
People might not be aware of it, but it's quite windy here. You might just pick up a hint of the wind on the microphone.
I know, when we listen back, we'll hear if it's clunky.
I'm sure it's pretty windy. Even though I have a windscreen, I'm sure it's pretty windy. But that's how beaches are. Where were we just? We were just in a really interesting place.
We were along the coast of, kind of driving along the coast road of from Doolin going north towards Fionnuala. And we got to see a Coast Guard exercise, which I have never seen in all my time here. And thankfully, you know, it didn't look like anybody really was hurt. I think they were just practicing. But pretty serious business the ocean is here. And
it's quite an exercise.
People don't appreciate that, and they have their boats out there. They might go swimming, or they just go walking on the cliff, and they're not careful, and it might be windy, or there's a freak wave now and then, might take somebody out, or they might slip if they don't have good shoes. And, you know, the Coast Guard folks here are great. The rescue guys are great because, you know, that they're serious about that. It's serious business here.
Well, it's kind of funny because so many people were running along the cliffs watching the helicopter that they weren't really looking where they were going in the first place.
I know. I was thinking of that. That hopefully no one got hurt watching to see, you know, a pretend rescue and then would need rescuing themselves.
But it was kind of interesting because we were driving along the road and the Coast Guard vehicle came up behind us with lights flashing and passed us. Apparently that was part of the exercise, was actually getting to the location. And it was just kind of funny. It was a real emergency the whole way.
Well, I know, too. You know, if you have firemen or policemen, they have to go through emergency rescues periodically, especially because we live in New York City. And there's ESU, which is the Emergency Service Units and stuff. And they're always doing practices. So, you know, it's good to know that out here in the country, they're still taking that seriously. Because if somebody got hurt, you have to, you know, be there quick and make sure you, you know, get them to the nearest hospital and taken care of.
This is pretty crazy because the hang glider literally going back and forth above our heads. I've never seen anything like that before. And it's weird because his feet are sort of tied up. You don't see his feet. They're bunched up like in a sleeping bag.
Okay.
I think he's going down. Oh, he's below the hill now.
I think they get into a running start and then they fly again. So.
Oh, yeah, he's still above ground. He's right over the beach. Yeah, he's coming back up again.
Yep. Ooh.
Here we go. Hang glider descriptions on the radio. Oh, no, wait, he's walking now.
Oh,
okay, he's on the ground. All right. Couldn't tell, he's so far away now. Well, that's something. So we're also going to go to some other places. What do you have in mind?
Well, we're going to keep going up the coast road and up to Ballyvaughan. And that's another scenic little spot. And say from Doolin area is kind of where the burn starts along the coast. And up
the
to
what now?
The Burren, B-U-R-R-E-N, and I am not even going to pretend that I can give you the official information, is the best way to call it, but it's a geographical land site and limestone. It goes for miles and miles and some amount of very thousand-year-old. I'm not going to sound very bright right now trying to explain it, but it's one of those geological wonders of the world where... with the beautiful rock formations. It's kind of like the moon. If you've ever been to volcano areas, say in Hawaii, and it has that same look with just almost like a moon look. And then there's crevices and beautiful little plants that might be Arctic plants or plants that would only grow in, you know, hot weather, or just, you know, plants that are indigenous to here. So botany type folks come and geological type folks and people who are into caving. And I forget, they're spelunking? Is that what it's called when you swim inside caves or something? Or
spelunking or something like that?
Well, something like that.
Yeah, I try to stay away from caves. I get a little claustrophobic.
And yeah, it's just, and I mean, I just feel like you're just close to the earth here, and the ground is spilling up at you at the burn because it's just rocks all over.
Well, so. Climbing up in the burn, and it's probably the first time I ever said that word, it was really interesting because it was like a lunar landscape, nothing but flat rock all over the place, with flowers growing up between it, which is kind of interesting
And periodically, too, there's like, I don't know if they're real ones or people made them, but there's little ring forts or little round rings where, you know, maybe the fairies come and visit, I don't know. I think some guys like came in the middle of the night and made them, and tourists think they're good, but, you know. It's cool to look at.
Incredible landscape
and
here.
It's also very, I mean, we can't see it. We're at the beach now. But you're like, oh, look, it's that high. I can climb that. And then you get to that spot, and then there's like two more ledges. And you're like, oh, I can climb those. And you climb that. Meanwhile, you've been climbing for 4 hours before you get to the top.
And you're at the moon, and you're looking down on Earth.
And you say, well, I can see the ocean from here. And then it takes another 4 hours to climb back down.
Yes. And it's probably dark by then, too.
Yes, I've done that.
So now, okay, we were last here 4 years ago. You've been here just about every year since, though, right?
Yep, I usually try to come both times a year.
All right, it's amazing because I remember some of it, and some of it is brand new to me. Mm-hmm. But what kinds of things have you been doing here when you come over?
Oh, well, most of it is about vacation and rest when I come. So I just visit with the friends I've had that I've had here since. I guess I started coming regularly in 2005 because a friend of mine who's also American moved over here permanently, and she's a psychologist, a PhD psychologist, and she kept saying, come over, you know, because they need speech pathologists, and at the time when everybody was economically sound, that was true, and I moved over just in time for the, you know, world collapse. But it was turned out all right.
The
world economic collapse.
Oh, the economic collapse.
Yes,
I didn't know the world collapse.
Ah, same difference as far as I was concerned, because how was I going to stay here longer otherwise? But I ended up getting a part-time job in speech pathology, and I didn't really like it, but it enabled me to stay for 14 months instead of 6 months.
Uh-huh.
And but the original question was kind of like, oh, so what do I do here? Yeah, I kind of do what most people do on holiday. I go for a walk, say, you know, watch the movies. I go to the pubs. I go listen to music. Now, the one thing is this is an area where there's a lot of traditional music, meaning traditional Irish music, and they have sessions, which means, like, people kind of jam. Some of them are paid musicians, but they'll let non-paying people come and sit in. And then sometimes it's just, you know, impromptu if the owners don't mind. And usually if there's some nice music, people might sit around and buy more, so the owners are sometimes happy. But, yeah, so that's why I just come and rest and visit friends and
awesome.
And have nice big breakfasts and stuff like that.
And Kyle's here, too. How do you think of this place, Kyle?
I think it's great.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's your first time in Ireland. Kyle's filming us right now, so he might sound a little distracted.
Yes. My first time in Ireland, yes. Uh-huh. As a young adult here.
As a kid, right? Derek said you came as when you were like 10 or 11. That's the age I was at when I came the first time. So, and to me it was magical, and I started coming back when I was 19. And I used to come more like every 3 to 5 years, and now I've been hooked on the twice-a-year plan.
The twice-a-year plan.
Yep.
Yeah, well, it's the first time I've been here sort of as an adult exploring myself and with Eric, so, whatever his name is.
Well, nobody knows. Nobody
Flavor
knows.
Of the day.
Hey, shall we walk up to the, what do you call it, all the water there?
Yeah, let's go.
Ocean, sorry.
Yeah, let's go to the ocean. Let's catch a few waves, man.
No, let's not do that. Let's just walk up and look at the ocean.
Okay.
And now we just do some B-roll of us pretending to talk about something, and then we just nod our head.
This is the first time I've been on the air in like
2 years.
Write
down some notes here on my pad. And
oh, it's starting to sprinkle too.
All right, just try to look interested. Okay, we're out.
Heat yesterday.
Yeah, actually, yesterday was a nice day.
We're going down to the pools now.
Yeah.
So how long are you just filling your own?
Yeah, we're just going around for a day or so.
Brilliant.
Yeah. He has a big camera.
Yeah, no, everyone gathers around with the big camera.
I dare you.
Uh-oh. No, it's double dare. Uh-oh.
What are you taunting the natives with, Kyle?
They said do a Mooney.
Do a Mooney?
Yeah, moon the camera. And I said I dare you.
when you walk around with a big camera or even with a microphone, people look and point. And I was just talking to Marianne now. And
well, yeah, everybody's got a phone camera, but not people have the pro cam size with the fuzzy, slightly shotgun microphone on top of
it. Yeah, when you have the dead cat, they call it a dead cat.
Yeah.
The fuzzy thing on the microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah, people just, they don't know what you're from, what you're doing, but they assume you're doing something, and they stare, and they point, and they hush up.
The film, that's just how they would say film here. Film.
Yes, in Rome it was cine.
Yes.
Proper cine.
All right, let's walk up to the water so we can hear the sounds of the waves, which is a noise that we don't hear very often.
That's right, because we're from Long Island, where we don't hear the ocean very often.
We're not familiar with that sound, no.
If you drive down 4 miles.
We do hear the sound of the wind, though. Oh, my goodness. We went to this beach in Liverpool with statues called the Iron Men. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Basically, human-sized statues facing Ireland that just are embedded in the sand. Maybe
in Liverpool?
Yeah, maybe two dozen of them in various parts. It's really cool looking.
Those emigrate. Like, people would leave Ireland to go to Liverpool to have to work in England. They couldn't afford to stay in Ireland, so...
Yeah.
There's a lot of Irish there.
Yeah, so they're looking longingly towards Ireland, I guess. Okay, we gotta be careful here. It's kind of wet.
I have mesh sleepers.
I don't.
No, mesh is worse.
Oh, okay. This is odd-looking sand. It's kind of... brown and yellow.
Yeah, it's kind of yellow. I was thinking it looks kind of cornmeal mixed in.
Black and tan, we might call it.
Well, no, let's not call it that. Bad thing.
There are people actually swimming. It's so cold.
It is. Well, a lot of people, I mean, you know, occasionally get somebody just in their swimsuit, but a lot of people have wetsuits. I have a wetsuit that I keep here. And then, you know, you go swimming or surfing in your wetsuit. It just takes the edge off. And you can go in and enjoy yourself.
It's really, really windy. I can hardly describe it. I can hardly breathe because the wind is so heavy. But we're getting closer to the waves. I don't know if we'll hear the waves over the wind, but we can try. I don't know where Kyle is. He's filming someplace. Alright, if the wind can just please die down for a second, we might be able to hear the sound of the waves. Oh god. I forgot about this. The water sometimes comes way up. Okay, all right, you've had your fun. And the hang glider is back. Look at him go. I always thought hang gliders just sort of came down from someplace and landed, but this guy is going up and down and over and about.
It's a good place, though, because you can just kind of keep practicing and going and...
It doesn't look so scary when... But, it, you know, he really is pretty high up even now. But it looks like he feels completely confident and safe, but he's really just hanging
more
on.
More the gliding than the hanging.
Yeah.
He's not coming from some steep incline and coming down rapid fire or anything. He's just flying around.
And it's in pure faith that he's up, and nobody understands how it works or why he doesn't plummet to the ground.
It's the, you know, bird's wingspan or something.
And no one understands that either. So it's really incredible that people ever agree to do this. And here he is again. Somehow he gets higher and higher each time. All right, well, pretty amazing. So anyway, it was just by a bit of a stroke of luck and some intention that we wound up here at the same time, because you came here basically for a few weeks in August and September, and Kyle and I decided to... we actually got decent airfare from an Irish airline, and so we decided we'll hang out in Ireland at the end of our trip and meet up with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which worked out excellent. We had a little crossover time. So, yeah, you phoned up the other day and we spoke, and then we made arrangements so you could find your way to where I was staying last night. I was staying with a friend, and you guys came and joined us.
What was incredible is that we called you at about 10:15 from the other side of the country, on the east side, east coast in Dublin, and we had just gotten our rental car. We ran into a bit of a hassle with one of the rental car companies, but we got it late, and we drove all the way cross country to the west coast, and it took about 3 hours.
Yep, that would be about right. You came, instead of coming straight across the Galway side, you came a little south and west and came to Limerick. But that, you know, it's as good a way as any. And then back up north towards Clare from Limerick.
I mentioned this 4 years ago, last time I was here driving, that it's very scary. The roads are so narrow. People go so fast. And of course, you're driving on the other side of the road, too. For us, that's a bit weird. I just don't understand how people survive. You have literally walls on one side. No shoulder, just a solid wall. And then you have the line with the other the side of traffic, and people are going fast speed. There's a guy behind you wanting to go 120 kilometers an hour. I honestly don't know how people do it.
Well, when I first moved here, because I was also learning how to drive standard, which I never knew how to do, and then I learned it and I got confident at it. But at first, you're a little intimidated by the roads, either one lane each way or just kind of 1.5 lanes wide, and then there's pullover spots, and there's certain, you know, kind of rules about whoever, if you see a car coming and you're going in the other direction, then wherever the pullover spot is, there's like almost little spots in the road where you can fit a car, about a half car, and whoever is at the closest one pulls in and the other car goes by. Periodically there's none, and so somebody has to back up until there is one, so that's a problem. But once you get used to it, because then I lived in this area for a little over a year, you get very happy with it. And then at nighttime, when people would think, oh, it might be more scary at nighttime, the headlights are on. So it's actually worse during the day because you don't see the cars coming. At nighttime, you see them from far away, and everybody can turn their headlights down and, you know, just take turns coming back and forth. But I found it almost like comforting after a while, because it's just the amount of road that you need for your car and maybe one other car. And when I went back to the States, it was almost unnerving because everything was just immense and gigantic and like cars coming at me, next to me, behind me, on both sides of me. Whereas here, you just had to deal with like one car at a time. So
that's a great way to look at
it. It was great. It was fine. I found it much more manageable. And I realized I was kind of a country girl. And the other thing, which was funny, I guess, for me, is I learned to drive standard here. I've never driven stick in the States, only in Ireland. And even I've had to rent a car a couple times. I owned a car up until this week, for the last 4 years. I lent it out to friends while I've been back in the States. But I've always driven standard now for the last 4 years here when I'm in the car. So I'm very used to staying on the left. Once in a while I might go to the right, but I'm pretty much used to left because that's what I do when I'm here. And then the same with driving stick. And for a few days this week, I had to rent a car, and they happened to give me an automatic. And it was funny because I'm so used to driving stick now that I kept looking for the clutch. I kept smashing my foot into the, you know, where the clutch would be, even in the automatic. And thankfully, you have to push the button to make the gear change, you know, from reverse to step forward in that. But I kept trying to hit, you know, the spot in the seat where the gears would be, you know, the stick would be. So that was a new experience for me.
Oh, yeah.
You said a bad word.
I'm sorry. I got a wave over my foot. I'm facing away from the water. I didn't expect that to happen.
It was a new experience for me to drive automatic, in Ireland. So.
But now, can you drive stick in the U.S.?
No, I don't know how.
So you can drive stick in Ireland on the other side of the road, but you have trouble.
I wouldn't know what to do with my right hand. I only know how to drive it with my left hand.
You see, I thought I'd have more difficulty here, and I imagine Carl probably thought the same thing. But it's remarkably similar to just simple to simply go the other side of the road and shift with your other hand stay on the other side.
Well, I think too, because in the car everything is in the same position. It's just on the other side of the car. You know what I mean? Like the feet pedals are in the same place they would be, and first and second and third, they're all in the same place. They're just in a different place in the car. So once your brain says, oh, I'm just doing it from this side, not the other side, or I'm using this hand versus the other hand, then it's all right. And then when you get in the car, I always say, I mean, I don't do as much now because I don't need to, but you just say left, 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 and then you start driving. And you just keep reminding your brain left, left, left. And I thought it was really, I was pleased with myself that one time a car was coming at me, and in the States your instinct is to turn to the right because, you know, that's how we work. But I turned to the left, and I was so pleased with myself, because turning to the right, and then they were turning to their left, and that's when you collide. And that's when a lot of European and or American drivers get in accidents, almost like an emergency instinct, and they go in the wrong direction.
You also gave us a very handy tip today as far as where the driver should be.
Yeah, no matter where you are, no matter what country in the world, you always keep your body in the middle of the road.
So if you're the driver.
Yes, if you're driving, yes, that's the part. That's the provision. If you're the driver of the car, your body should always be in the middle of the road. So
or close to the middle, because obviously if the other car says the same thing, you're going to collide,
but
as close
be,
as possible.
The driving position of the car should never be on the edge of the road. It should always be towards the middle of the road. And
well, there are exceptions. If you get a car with the steering wheel on the wrong side, which people do sometimes.
Yeah, there's European cars here. Somebody I know has a car from France, so he can't follow that rule. So there is always an exception to every rule, but in a general way, that will pretty much keep you safe. So
that's another handy tip here from Marianne.
Every now and then I'm in the States and I forget where I am, and I say if I'm in the middle of the road, then I'm all right. I'm on the correct side of the road for where I'm driving.
I have the same condition. I don't know where I am sometimes. right now I am somewhere in Ireland. Where is this again?
Fanora Beach. Fanora Beach. Fanora Beach.
All right, well, we're going to move on.
Hey, what are you guys doing?
We're just having a conversation, but we're just finishing it now.
Oh, Kyle. Can I talk?
Well, you can say something, but...
Oh, you're finished.
Well, you can say goodbye.
No, we're Irish.
Bye. Irish, not finished.
Very funny. All right, we're going to come on from someplace else, because I think there might be so much wind here on the beach. For some reason, beaches attract wind. I think it's got something to do with the water.
Wind gets sucked into
the ocean or something like that. There's some kind of a reason. There must be.
Yes.
Wind also is attracted to higher elevations, like mountains and things like that.
And there's still a hang gliding guy.
I don't think he can get down. I think that's the problem. He's maybe if we threw some rope up there and pulled, he'd be thankful to us for getting him down. Because
or
he's
rocks.
Been up...
Rocks.
So, I would do that, and I'll watch from far away to notice his expression.
All right, and maybe you can film, Kyle.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
To be Irish Catholic, now I'm an American. You know, you grow. Yeah. I was from one of those Irish neighborhoods in New York, one of those kind of parish schools. It wasn't typical. It was Corpus Christi was the name of it. Could have been any Catholic church, right? Our Lady of Great Agony. St. Rita Moreno. Our Lady of Perpetual Motion. What's the difference? What's the cause? You know. The church part and the neighborhood part were typical, but the school was not. It wasn't one of those old-fashioned parish kind of prison schools with a lot of corporal punishment and Sister Mary discipline with the steel ruler, right? Oh, my hand! And you'd fall 2 years behind in penmanship, right?
Well, he's behind in penmanship, Mrs. Carlin. I don't know why.
He's crippled. He's trying to learn to write with his left hand. You know? We didn't have that. I got lucky, you know, got into a school where the pastor was kind of into John Dewey and progressive education, and he talked the diocese, into experimenting in our parish with progressive education and whipping the religion on us anyway and see what would happen with the two of them there. And Worked out kind of nice. There was a lot of classroom freedom. There was no, for instance, there were no grades or marks, you know, no report cards to sweat out or any of that. There were no uniforms. There's no sexual segregation, boys and girls together. And the desks weren't all nailed down in a row, you know. They were movable desks, and you had new friends every month. It was nice. Like I say, a lot of classroom freedom. In fact, there was so much freedom that by eighth grade, many of us had lost the faith. Because they made questioners out of us. And they really didn't have any answers, you know. They'd fall back on, well, it's a mystery.
Oh, thank you, Father. Mystery? I don't know. What's he talking about? A mystery.
Part of class clown was being an imitator, as you probably noticed. But I used to imitate the priests, which was right on the verge of blasphemy, you know. I could do them all rather well. I did Father Byrne the best. Father Byrne was the one who used to celebrate the children's mass. Oh, so that was great, celebrate mass.
Yeah, man.
Father Byrne did the children's mass, did the sermon every week. He used to do parables about Dusty and Buddy. Dusty was a Catholic, and Buddy was not. And Buddy was always trying to talk Dusty into having a hot dog on Friday. And I could do Father Byrne so well that I often wanted to do him in confession, you know? I wanted to get into Father Byrne's confessional one Saturday, maybe a half hour before he showed up, and get in there and hear a few confessions, you know? Because I knew, according to my faith and religion, that if anyone came in there and really thought I was Father Byrne, and really wanted to be forgiven, and performed the penance I had assigned, they would have been forgiven, man. Because that's what they taught us. It's what's in your mind that counts. Your intentions. That's how we'll judge you. What you want to do. Mortal sin had to be a grievous offense, sufficient reflection, and full consent of the will. You had to wanna. In fact, wanna was a sin all by itself. Thou shalt not wanna. If you woke up in the morning and you said, I'm going down to 42nd Street and commit a mortal sin, save your car fare. You did it, man. Absolutely. It was a sin for you to want to feel up Ellen. It was a sin for you to plan to feel up Ellen. It was a sin for you to figure out a place to feel up Ellen. It was a sin to take Ellen to the place to feel her up. It was a sin to try to feel her up. And it was a sin to feel her up. There was six sins in one feel, man. But confession had another, there was another aspect to confession for me. Our neighborhood was right between Columbia University and Harlem, Juilliard School of Music, Grant's Tomb, two seminaries, Jewish Theological and Union Theological Seminary. I said Harlem was there. And then to the north, a Puerto Rican and Cuban section. And as Puerto Ricans began to move into our neighborhood, the diocese, in a rare display of tokenism in the early 50s, sent one Spanish priest, Father Rivera, to hear Spanish confessions. And all the Irish guys that were heavily into puberty would go to confession to Father Rivera. Because he didn't seem to understand the sins, you know? Or at least he didn't take them personally, you know? It wasn't an affront to him. It was no big theological harangue. He didn't chew you out. He was known as a light penance. In and out, three Hail Marys, you're back on the street with Father Rivera, man. Boom, right? Boom. You could see the line move. That's how fast he was working, right? But he wasn't ready for the way Irish boys were confessing at that time in that place.
Well, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I would have touched myself in an impure manner. I was impure, impurity and impureness. Thought, word, and deed, body, touch, impure, sex, dirty. Impure legs, impureness, touch, impure, dirty body, sex, rub, and covet. Heavy on the covet, Father.
That's okay, men. Tres Ave Marias. Boo!
You'd be home in 5 minutes, you know? The Irish priest, on the other hand, nice guy, but first of all, he recognized your voice because you'd grown up there, right? He knew everyone. What'd you do that for, George? Oh, God, he knows, man. And the Irish priests were always heavily into penance and punishment, you know? They'd give you a couple of novenas to do, the 9 first Fridays, 5 first Saturdays, Stations of the Cross, a trip to Lourdes. Wow! That was one of the things that bothered me a little about my religion, was that conflict between pain and pleasure, you know? Because they were always pushing for pain, and you were always pulling for pleasure, man. You know?
Beer, a dollar, who might wear a shirt? Mexico, we got us an Irish pub. It's over to me.
Hello to you.
We're just along the avenue.
Who the hell is gonna grow?
We got us an Irish pub. Facebook, to spread upon the holy book. The only crack you get is a slap in the ear. Where's our Facebook? You love for first, you filthy mug. If you drop one more shot, I'll give me beer. The only crack you get is a slap in the air.